Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. We're going to start off with Kirk Whalum taking me up a little bit.
So make me a believer.
Welcome to another episode of A Love Journey, Your Love Journey with Janine and Ingram, Your Experience with the Love Goddess, Lady Love, Lady J. That's me. Yes, family, welcome, welcome. I was reading The Course in Miracles. And workbook lesson 258 says, our only goal is God. Let me remember that my only goal is God. All that is needful is to train our minds to overlook all little senseless aims and to remember that our only goal is God. His memory is hidden in our minds, cured by our pointless little goals, which offer nothing and do not exist. Shall we continue to allow God's grace to shine in unawareness while the toys and the trinkets of the world are sought instead? For God is our only goal, our only love. We have no aim but to remember him. Our goal is but to follow in the way that leads to you, God. We have no goal but this. What could we want but to remember you, Holy Spirit? What could we seek but our own identity as God, as us? And I wanted to read that before we got started because we create all these goals and we do. And I was a goals person too, but I thought about this today. Only goal is God. And it made me think about Albert Einstein because Albert Einstein in a book called Albert Einstein is God, he said, my only goal is to think the thoughts of God. And Albert Einstein was asked, how did he create all these scientific processes? And Albert Einstein said he was a genius. He said, no, we're all geniuses, because the information that I bring into the world comes from the higher mind self, from his God self. What if our only goal today was God? This comes from A Course in Miracles, workbook lesson 258. What if our only goal today was God? To think God thoughts, to speak God words, to be the presence of God as you. Something to think about. Make you want to go, Let's get ready and turn within. Recognizing that there is only one power, one presence in this whole wide world and this whole universe. And in this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. And we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so in this right now moment, our only goal is God. Our only goal is to have God thoughts, speak God's words, and become the presence of God in this right now moment. As we invite the stillness, the oneness, into this right now moment, our only goal is God. And as we become one with the one, I want you to become intentional about the breath. Because there is power in the breath. And sometimes we forget to breathe, family. And so I want you to take in a deep, loving breath, remembering the only goal is God. Breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Release the breath. And remember to breathe deep into the diaphragm, deep into the heart. One power, one presence. Our only goal is God. Let's be still. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. And listen. And know that I am God. Let's breathe, the family. And release. And let that be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Our only goal is God. To remember in this right now moment, there is nothing more important than to remember that our only goal is God. And so as we move into the presence of our heart, as we remember this is our gratitude process, is to just say thank you. Just say thank you, God. No matter where you are in the process, because you know everything is happening for us, not to us, because the universe is friendly to our desires. Just say thank you, God. If we didn't ask for another thing, we've been so blessed. Just say thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Divine Mother, Father, God, precious and Holy Spirit, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice, because of all the places they could go, they stopped right here by the love journey. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, Mother, God. Thank you for all those who had a mind to come this morning, God. Thank you for those who had an opportunity to stop by, God. Thank you for the love. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for our only goal today is God. Only goal is to express the presence of God. And so as we call forth our miracle this morning, as we call forth the gratitude of this day that has been given to us as the present, we say thank you. And that's it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Good morning, family. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. Your love experience with Janine and Ingram, a.k.a. Lady God, Lady Love, Love Goddess, Lady J. That's me. Yes. And I want to start off with a quick Reverend Ike on how to be God this morning. Because when I was reading A Course in Miracles and it said, our only goal is God. Our only goal is God. What if we tore up our goal sheet this morning and all those to do and realize our only to do, to be, and to have is to be God? This is Reverend Ike. We're going to start off and then we're going to talk about that. Our only goal today.
Sit down quite yet. You standing here, the thousands of you here at United Palace in New York City today, some of us perhaps have never been here before. But I don't want anyone to be strangers. In just the moment when I tell you to, I want you to smile at each other and shake every hand that you can reach and say to each other, the presence of God in me blesses the presence of God in you. Just before you do that, I want to tell you something is going to happen when you do this today. You're going to bless those persons that you speak to, and those persons who speak to you are going to bless you. Healings are going to take place. Upliftment is going to take place as you do this. And those of you who look in by television, no matter where you are, even there in the bar room, and they do watch this telecast in the bar room, you see. I fill them with the Spirit while they're getting filled with the Spirit. And many people say to me, "Ah, Reverend Ike, you really caught me the other night when you said, those of you in the bar room do this also." So you here at United Church, and those of you looking in all across America and all across Europe, because portions of this telecast will go to Europe, turn and shake hands with each other and say, "The presence of God in me blesses the presence of God in you." Go ahead. Do something somewhat differently today. How many of you here today, you're interested in prayer for health, not just because something is wrong, but because when we go even beyond faith healing, we do this by realizing that health is an everyday thing. And our mental attitudes determine our health. I want to hear every one of you who are interested in health and who are interested in maintaining good health, say with me now, three times, "God in me is my help. God 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 in me is my help." Now we're going to say it again, and we're going to say it a little more slowly, and we're going to add the words "right now" to it. And as you add the words "right now," if you have been having any problems with your health, I want you to release any sense of what was wrong and feel the wholeness of God within you. See the wholeness of God within you. This is what Dr. Bachman was preparing us for. See that behind your physical eyes, God's perfect eyes see. See that behind your physical heart, God's perfect heart beats in you. Think about that. God's perfect heart beats within me. Together, God's perfect heart beats within me. See the strength, the power, the presence of God walking in you. Let's say together once again, "God in me is my health," right now. Together, "God in me is my health." Take that prayer with you. Take that treatment with you for your health. Every day, as you look at your children as they grow up, say to them silently within your heart, "God in you is your health." Right now,
God,
let this be an everyday treatment for your health. Those of you who may have some problem, a situation in your life that you want healed, I give you again my time-proven treatment for the solution to your problem. And it is this: God in me is the answer right now. Let's say this together three times. God in me is my answer right now. God in me is my answer right now. God in me is my answer right now. Now, I want you, as we are realizing this, to release all sense of the problem and to know that God in you is your answer. If you're going to court this week, what is your realization? God in me is my answer right now. Whatever situation you face, whatever solution you need, what is the realization that you're going to meet it with? God in me is my I dare you to try. Let's stand. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. I am so happy. No sorrow. Wave your hands and say, praise the Lord. To see that God is in you, then you see the light. Because the Bible says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And the most wonderful thing in the world is to see this light of God within you, right here, right now. Let's lift our hands again and say, praise the Lord. I saw the
I wanted to talk about that this morning. So many times we get caught up with all the things that's going on and we forget to look through our metaphysical, spiritual eyes. I got to remind you that we got to stop allowing ourselves to get caught up in the physical realm and not see with the spiritual eyes. All this debate with the political process, the president of the United States, this and this and this, and we forget that there's a spiritual process happening at the same time. But the spiritual is so powerful, yet sometimes we can't see it or feel it. Because sometimes it doesn't feel good or it doesn't look good, and we get caught up in the seemingly appearances of the process is not realizing that the universe is always friendly to our desires. Yes, maybe our husband is not doing what we wanted him to do and we upset and we holding on. But you prayed because you wanted something good. And God said, well, I got something good for you if you just let go of what you think is good for you. Maybe you think your wife or whatever, I got something good for you. But we get so caught up. So that's why when I was reading A Course in Miracles this morning, it says, our only goal is God. What if our goal, instead of being caught up in what our spouse is or what's happening in our finances or what's happening in the world, what if our only goal was to see God in it all? I know you're saying, Janine, ain't no way I can see God in blah, blah, what he or what she, and blah, blah. Ain't no way God is in But what if just for one moment you could release your own thoughts, your own conditioning of what you thought God was, and just have God as the only goal? Just let's breathe that in. My only goal is God. That's A Course in Miracles, lesson 258. Let me remember that my only goal is God. There's nothing else more important than that goal right there. What if we put away the idea of what we've been taught from the Bible, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindi Bibles, any other religious text, and just surrendered ourselves to the presence and said our only goal was to allow God's presence to manifest in us right now. Not our unforgiveness, but to let go and to only see God in everything that is happening, to see God in our spouses, our ex-spouses, to see God in the financial situation, to see God in a court situation, a foreclosure situation, whatever, our only goal is God today. That's a big ask. You know, my nephew, being about 12, 13 years old, he said, "Auntie, how can I be down like Jesus?" I said, "What you mean?" He said, "I want to turn water into wine, Auntie. I want to be able to take the loaves of bread and the fish." He said in the Bible, he said we can do it, but nobody taught me. "Auntie, can you teach me how to be down like Jesus?" Now, that was funny, but yet profound. Can I be down like Jesus? And I said to myself, he said, "Janine, Auntie Janine, listen to this." He said, "The Bible said, Jesus said, I can do what Jesus did, and I can do the works he did, and I can even do it greater. But what if I could just do what Jesus did, Auntie? What if I could take this water and turn it into wine?" So he said, he brings the glasses of water. He said, "Now what do I do to turn this water into wine?" I said, "That's a good question." He said, "Do you think that I can turn the water into wine?" I said, "If Jesus can do it, you can do it. So let's figure it out. All you have to do is ask God to show you how to be God on the planet. Right now, let's invoke the presence of God." Because, you know, if this 13-year-old had the mind to say, "Auntie, can I be down like Jesus?" Who am I to say he couldn't turn the water into wine? Who am I to say he can't turn the fish and the bread into amplify and feed the multiple people that is around him? This is an interesting thought for a 13-year-old to actually have to me. It was a very deep thought. So it sent me into my own journey of understanding what does it mean to be God on the planet. And so I never read anything that really taught us that we can really turn water into wine. It says it in the word, but it doesn't give you the steps. So I stopped thinking about the Course in Miracles, and that came open, lesson 258. My only goal is God. And I thought about Einstein as God. In his book, he said, in order to perform what we call miracles, which is his everyday occurrence, which means Albert Einstein said his everyday occurrences were miracles, we had to have God thoughts. So I gave my nephew the book, and I told him, "Why don't you start reading this book right here? And that might be the beginning of you being able to turn water into wine." So he's on his search to learn how to turn water into wine, and I love his enthusiasm. Albert Einstein said that he was not a genius. He only learned how to manipulate the laws of the universe. So, could it have been that Jesus understood how to manipulate the laws of the universe by becoming one with the one that created the universe? What if our only goal today was God? What would that look like? That be, could you turn water into wine? Or even just handle your own situations that are occurring in your own life? What keeps us from manifesting that powerful presence as God on the planet? Our only goal is God. Our only goal is to see with the eyes of God, feel with the heart of God, the presence of God. I remember listening to this minister, and he had on a robe, and he says, there's nothing in this robe I'm wearing except Allah. He who penetrates into himself and so transcends himself ascends truly to God. He walks without feet, he sees without eyes, he hears without ears, and eats without a mouth. You should know God without image, unmediated and without likeness. But if I am to know God without mediation in such a way, then I must become God. I must become the I. More precisely, I say God must become me and I must become God so entirely on that God is me and I am God. That is, God and the soul are very fruitful and we are eternally one. Master Eckhart once said, the I, the E-Y-E, by which I see God is the same as the I by which God sees me. My eye and God's eyes are one and the same, one in seeing, one in knowing, one in loving. Master Eckhart was a very profound metaphysician. And in his day, they say he performed many miracles. So when you think of being God on this planet, and your only goal is to, is God, I thought about something in the idea of our only goal being God. What if we let go even of the thoughts and beliefs that we had about God and just allowed ourselves to surrender to the presence and to allow God to teach us who God was? Growing up in Catholic school, Sanctified Church, Baptist Church, Pentecostal, they give you this thought process of who God is, but what if I allowed myself to just let go of all those thoughts and know nothing and allow God's thoughts to become my thoughts? That's what Albert Einstein was really saying. He was saying in order to perform the law of relativity, you know, he said he went to sleep one night, and on his way to sleep, he was, this is in a book called Einstein's Dream. And he said he went to sleep, and he said, my only thoughts are God. And in his dream, he woke up with the law of relativity. He went to sleep with God's thoughts and woke up with the law of relativity. He said he was transported into this higher presence. And all he woke up with was the law of relativity. Can you imagine what that would look like to be God on the planet? The Course in Miracles 258 says our only goal is to be it's God today. Our only goal is God. So if our only goal is to be God, to have God thoughts, and if we practice presence to the level of transcending the idea of what is happening in our life right now, what would we be? Yeah, in the physical, it may seem like your finances are this, your body is going through this, and maybe it seems like your relationship is whatever. And well, what if our thoughts, mind, body, and soul could transcend all of whatever is going on and only have the thoughts of God? And what if we could be like my little nephew and have the desire to be down like Jesus? How can I be down like Jesus? And so when I studied the miracle work and power of Christ, do anybody know what is the first thing Jesus did in every miracle that was performed? He got quiet. Something happens in the quiet. Something happens in the silence. Something powerful happened in the silence. And then the second step was to give gratitude, God, for the presence of whatever it is that you're asking for. Jesus just simply transcended whatever the physical process was going on and gave thanks. If something happens in a quiet mind, Master Eckhart said this in his book called Prayer, the most powerful prayer one can have that's omnipotent and the worthiest work of all is the outcome of a quiet mind. The quieter it is, the more powerful, the more worthier, the deeper, the more telling, the more perfect the prayers. To the quiet mind, all things are possible. Quiet mind, all things are possible. To the quiet mind, all things are possible. What is a quiet mind? A quiet mind is one which nothing weighs on it, nothing worries, which frees from ties from all self-seeking, is wholly merged into the will of God and dead to its own. Such a one can do no deed, however small, but is clothed with something of God's power and authority. Joe Goldsmith said, God is the substance of all form. God is infinite. God is all-inclusive. So the only thing to pray for is the realization of God. I want you to really marinate on that. God is substance of all form. God is infinite. God is all-inclusive. So the only thing to pray for is the realization of God. Joe Goldsmith said that. Know that I am God. It's interesting. That scripture was one of my favorite scriptures, and I used to say that whenever I was in fear. When I was a little girl growing up, that was one of my favorite scriptures. There was two things I would say when I needed to. Well, three things. When it was three, one of the three things that would come up whenever I was in some kind of turmoil, fear, whatever. When I was a little girl growing up in foster care, you know, a lot of things happened. So sometimes I would just need the presence of God to keep me protected or keep me warm, keep me whatever I was going through in that right now moment. And what would bring peace to my heart is when I would say, be still and know that I am God. At the time, I still thought of God outside of me. I still thought of God as something in a up in the sky kind of thing, right? But as I got older and I began to say that prayer, like if I was in worry or something, it would just quiet my heart, be still, and know that I am God. But as I started saying it on the love journey before we prayer, it became a twofold thing. Be still and know that I am God made me realize that God, when I was coming up, can handle all things, and I was turning it over. That was my way of turning it over to God. But as I began to do it on a love journey, I began to realize that that prayer that I was saying was recognizing that the presence of God as me is me. Be still and know. And that I had to remember. See, sometimes we forget who we are. That prayer puts me back in the remembrance that no matter what's going on, be still and know that I am God. That I, as Janine, in this right now moment, is the God presence. The presence of me as God knows the answer. So my job was to pray to the realization that I am God. And that the manifestation of God's presence, that I was invoking the presence of God in me. I was participating in the presence of knowing that the oneness of who I am and who I came to be on this planet came from that those few little words, be still and know that I am God. So I told my nephew, I said, be still and know that you are God. And say that when you want to understand what it is that you're trying to understand, and God will download into your heart how to be down like Jesus. He said, for real, Auntie? I said, for real. He said, you think I could be down like Jesus? No, but I know you can be down like Jesus. So I just can't wait to see who this king going to grow up to be. At 13, asking me, can he be down like Jesus? And he said, I know you're the only one that can understand that question, Auntie. I said, but the prayer of being still and knowing that you are God, those words makes the soul one with God. It makes us one with the presence. I don't know if you've listened to the prayer when soon as be still and know that I am God, the line transcends into this quietness. Sometimes I can feel the quietness on the phone. Like, you can hear the intention of people hearing, but then when the presence is in the room or in the phone or in the line and you hear the be still and know that I am God, there's this quietness that takes over the call. That transcends the quiet that's happening in this right now moment. And when the mind, when all of our collective minds get in this quiet space, there's something that happens powerful that takes place in the line. I don't know if you all felt it, but I felt it quite a few times in our prayer time. It's something that transcends the physical. And we're in a realm of the spiritual. And that's when we realize that God is infinitely present, basis in that one moment. So today, our only goal is God. A lesson in A Course in Miracles 258. Master Eckhart said our most powerful prayer is in the quiet of the mind. He said the most powerful prayer, one where near omnipotent, omnipotent, and the worthiest work of all is the outcome of a quiet mind. The quieter it is, the more powerful, the more worthier, the deeper, the more telling, the more perfect the prayer is. To the quiet mind, all things are possible. And remember, he said a quiet mind is a mind which nothing is weighing on it. Nothing worries it. Everything. We're free from all self-seeking physical things. We're merged. Our presence as God is one. There's some powerful stuff. There's some powerful stuff. When you really think about the physical presence and how we get caught up in the littleness of ourselves and never think about the bigness of ourselves, the big presence that we are, powerful presence, the manifestors, the magnetic, magnetizing ability to create and have all that we desire and more is right there within us. What would happen if we allowed ourselves to be the presence of God on this planet? What would happen if our only goal was God? What could we manifest? What could come of the manifestation of God as us today? What if we wanted to be down like Jesus, like my nephew said? T.T., can I be down like Jesus? And it's okay if you don't believe in Jesus, but just in the idea of the creation story of how this man that we know as Jesus, and I know there was no J back then. I know a lot of, you know, people on the line had their processes about this, but I want you to think about just the story, not the semantics, the J, the Yeshua, whatever, however we call this man, but the story. Because all religious texts have a story that's similar to Jesus. It just may not be the man called Jesus. But I want you to think about the story, the idea of Jesus turning water into wine. Feeding the masses with two fish and five loaves. I want you to think about what was the meaning of why those stories were told? And why did the word say that we can do these things that we've been told and even greater? But nobody ever really searched and studied, very few, on what it means to be able to manifest the consciousness of that story. I'm not asking you to believe. I'm not asking you to change your belief system. I'm not even asking you to do anything different and change your religion. All I'm saying is whatever processes you believe in, whatever the story is in your religious text, what level of consciousness would it take to get there? How do you call forth that presence that is us? How do we condition and recondition our minds back to the truth? I remember Farrakhan, Minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, teaching he spoke a sermon called How to Birth a God. How to Birth a God. And I thought about that sermon too when I was reading this Course in Miracles this morning. and as I'm going through my own rebirthing process, I'm reading this book called How to Release the Habit of Being You. How do I let go of everything that I thought I knew? How do I let go of everything and just simply get to the point of zero and allow the presence of me that is me to come forth and manifest with no condition, no thoughts, just truly in that unlimited, overflowing energy of the vibrations of the universe and the presence that we may call God, we may call Allah, we may call many, many different names. But what is that it would take to get there, right? See, this simple little Course in Miracles brought a lot of thoughts. Let me remember that my only goal is God today. Let me remember that my only goal is God today. So if I took my to-do list and I scratched everything off and said my only to-do is to be God on the planet today, my only goal is God. If I could sit with Albert Einstein and ask him a question, did he write down a goal that he wanted to create the law of relativity? I'm sure it was not that. He said exactly in Einstein's dream, I went to sleep with God thoughts and I woke up with the law of relativity. He dreamed these scientific laws. He dreamed about it. He woke up with these dreams because of his God thoughts. His affirmation is, I only think the thoughts of God. The Course in Miracles says, my only goal is God thoughts. Joel Goldsmith says, God is the substance of all form. God is infinite. God is inclusive. So the only thing to pray for is the realization of God. Our only prayer, no matter if you're in a financial situation, no matter if you're in foreclosure, no matter if your marriage is going away, no matter what's happening in your life, your only prayer is to realize the realization of your God presence. Master Eckhart says, the only most powerful prayer, one that is omnipotent and worthy his work of all, is the outcome of a quiet mind. Be still and know that I am God. That prayer right there would quiet my mind when I was in a foster care. And I used to take the part of the Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. But what if I change the words now to, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I am God. Whoo, that just sent chills through my spine. So when my nephew asked me, how can I be down like Jesus? I had to remind him that he had to affirm his God presence every day, every minute, every second. He said, well, what does that mean, Auntie? I said, I wrote it down. I am God. And he said, I said, write that every day. He said, so then I'll be down like Jesus. I said, you'll be down like Jesus. I am God. And then I put under there, so as it is written, so shall it be. Whew. I'm raising a king, y'all. I'm raising a God. I can't wait to see what this little man gonna do. If he continues in the direction he's doing right now. And I thought about him when I read the Course in Miracles this morning. This is what it opened up to. Our only goal is God today. Let me remember that my goal, that my only goal is God. Albert Einstein says, my only thoughts are God. Master Eckhart said, the most powerful prayer is in a quiet mind. Joe Goldsmith said, the only prayer to pray is to allow ourselves to be in the realization that we are God, our God presence. And so this is our awareness for today. Our only goal is God today. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever that means for you, is to recognize that no matter what's going on in the situation of your life, to move beyond the physical and move in and transcend the physical. A quiet mind is one that has no worries. The quiet mind is free from all ties. The quiet mind is free from self-seeking. The quiet mind has merged the presence of God as one. And we have invoked the power and authority of our God presence. Sometimes I wake up and I begin to pray. And sometimes you all stories or things that you share with me or your personal things that's going on, I begin to invoke the presence of God in your situation for you. Because what I've learned in this journey of prayer and in this journey of the presence is that we have to not only seek and see God in us, but we must see God in other people's situations. We must learn how to hold space for other people. What happens is I get to tell you my story and then you get caught up in the emotional. It's not helping me. But when I get to see God in your story, I get to help you raise the consciousness of what is happening in your life to the presence of realization that God is all there is. God is all there is. And when you begin to let go of the emotional ties to the physical presence, you will then transcend from the physical and begin to get answers downloaded and inspired into your presence. We have to learn how to see God even when it's hard to see God. We have to learn how to have the spiritual vision even when the physical doesn't look so great. We have to learn how to see the presence of God even in the hidden. And that's what our only goal is, God. So no matter what's happening in your relationship, no matter what's happening in your finances, no matter what's happening in your career, no matter what's happening with your loved ones, our job today is to only see God process. If you're emotionally tied to an idea of what's happening, you're not seeing God in the situation. That's why it's important. When the fear, the worry, and all those things come up, what did Master Eckhart say? The most powerful prayer is a quiet mind. The quieter is the more powerful. So when my mind tries to take me in a direction that is anything other than the presence, be still and know that I am God. That's been my prayer since I was a little girl, when I couldn't say nothing else, when I didn't know what to do. When I heard those footsteps of the molester or the rapist coming, I just still and ask God to bless my presence. You see, I didn't know it then, but looking back over it now, I'm so grateful for the mind to know how to pray. And I don't even really know where or why I had a mind to pray. But I knew as a little girl in those foster care places, I had to just go into my prayer. Literally sleeping sometimes with my coat on and all my clothes. Literally asking God when my heart would get weary and I didn't know the words to say. I would just say, be still and know that I am God. Peace, be still. Create in me a clean heart. Those were the scriptures that I would just say over and over again. Renew the right spirit in me. That was my prayers as a little girl. Now when I say it, it's to transcend whatever physical process that's happening. When my finances are not showing up the way I want them to show up, the way I deserve for them to show up, knowing that I am an inheritance of the unlimited, overflowing abundance of this universe, knowing that that is my rightful inheritance, what is keeping me from experiencing that in this right now moment, be still. And know that I am God. When I walked into court, when my attorney told me that he never seen nobody walk off for this and know that at the minimum I was going to get was 6 months. I was in my 20s. Be still and know that I am God. And the whole time that everything was going on, I recited the Lord's Prayer, and I recited that I am God. And the whole time of court, I was within my spirit. I wasn't even hearing what was going on in the court. I just went into the spirit. And when I came out, this man, it was something that took over his voice that told my whole life story, that said to the judge and to everybody was crying in the whole judge, and I'm listening to this, my attorney recite my whole life story. I was like, wow. And when he got through speaking my story, that everybody in the court was crying. The courtroom was so filled with people who was there to support me. It was standing room only. And the judge, the stenographer, court stenographer, everybody had tears in their eyes. And the judge released me and dismissed my case. Now, everybody else who was involved in that case went to jail, this, and that. All of them did. All I did was call forth the presence of God. Now, I didn't really do a lot that was wrong anyway, but I did enough wrong that I guess I was caught up. I put on a piece of paper that I made X amount of dollars. I bought my first house when I was 21. And let me tell you, I had always knew I was going to be in real estate. I knew it. I couldn't wait till I was 21. And so as soon as I turned 21, I ain't had no job. But I wanted to buy this house, right? And I bought this house and said I had a job. My credit, I had already been putting my credit together. I've been reading all this stuff all these years. So I'm buying my first piece of property because I'm going to be rich, y'all, right? So I bought my first piece of property, and I didn't have a job. And the place I went to, they was a no-income, no-doc space. All you had to do, it was stated, meaning that all you had to do is state your income, and that was it. So I stated my income. It was a stated income that I hadn't really wasn't making. And so that's the only thing they found on me, and that's called bank fraud. When you put on a piece of paper that you make X amount of dollars and work a certain place that you didn't work, I didn't have no job, but I wanted the first house, so that was my first house. Once I got the money, I was able to buy other houses and move forward from there. But anyway, that was how I got caught up with the FBI. And it got caught up because the other guy that I bought this particular house from, this is about my 10th or 15th house, he was already had the FBI on him. And so when they came to me, they wanted me, I was a little fish in a big pond. They wanted me to leverage
they was coming to me to scare me so I could turn state's evidence on him, which I didn't really know that much about him. He was just selling a house for $20,000, and when I fix it up, it'd be worth X amount of dollars. It was on 119. It was a nice house. I wanted the deal. And because I bought the house, but see, this is where spirit came in and said, Janine, don't close on that house. I was laying in bed, and the way I did the deal, I had a 3-day right of rescission. You know, when you refinance a piece of property, you get 3 days before you pick up the check, and it's called a 3-day right of rescission. So I'm laying in the bed on the first night. Spirit say, don't go get the money. Second day, I could still hear this. I mean, it's getting louder. I wake my husband up. I say, something is wrong. I shouldn't close on this deal. He looked at me and went back to sleep like, girl, you better go get that $75,000. I called my girlfriend. The third night, it was so loud. It was like me speaking to you right now. You know how usually when you hear God, it's like this still small voice. I heard it so loud that I can't even lie to you and tell you that I didn't hear it. But let me tell you, it was the best hard-headedness I ever done because it taught me so much. Yes, I lost everything. I went through a lot, had to pay attorney, went through a whole process. But it took me within myself, and it took me to a closer place with God that I learned so much during that time about God's presence and that there is a miracle working power of God if we learn how to tap into it. Like my attorneys and everybody who was around me all was just surprised at how I landed on my feet. But I tell you, it wasn't the physical presence of me. It was me learning how to transcend the physical process because I was scared, I was crying, I was upset, And then Spirit spoke to me in my dream one night and said, fear would never get you anywhere. I'm like, fear would never get me anywhere. And what I remember is going back to the basics. And God showed me when I was a little girl, my prayer was to be still and know that I am God. And so I really studied that and started to begin to say that. And when I was walking in fear, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no am God. And that thing was send chills down my spine. And I walked with a certain authority that the spirit in me got there before I got there. And it shifted the atmosphere. And I was able to call forth a miracle. And I knew that I needed that miracle because I knew that these three little girls called Diamond, Ebony, and Asia, they needed their mother. So I just want you to know today that you have the power to call forth your miracle today. You have the power to call forth your miracle today. What is the Course in Miracles lesson? 258, our only goal is God today. All that is needful is to train our minds to overlook this physical, senseless aim and to remember that our only goal is God. It's to get our memory back of the truth that we are God. God's mind is our mind. And to release those pointless little goals which offer nothing and do not exist, so we continue to allow God's grace to shine in unawareness while the toys and trinkets of the world are sought. No, our only thought is God. Our only goal is God. We have no aim but to remember our only goal is God. And that's the lesson from Workbook of the Course in Miracles, of Lesson 258. A journey back to the mind of God. Who are you? Can you be down like Jesus?
Can you get back to the remembrance that our only goal is God? That's the lesson. Any thoughts? Press 1 on Blog Talk Radio. Comments, concerns, questions? Star 6 on the teleconference line and on Blog Talk Radio. Press 1. Our only goal is God today. Our only goal is God. Our only goal is to transcend the physical eyes into the present spiritual eyes, into the spiritual 2020 vision. We got to see past the physical. What is your affirmation that can keep you out of the plans of worry? And remember that a quiet mind is a powerful mind. I was just making sure. Press 1 on Blog Talk. I'm looking all down. Nope. All right. Star 6 if you're on teleconference line. All right. We play Make Me a Believer. I tell you, sometimes I wish I could just share all the stories of the time that the spirit transcended my physical and what we call miracles or blessings or Janine just landing on her feet. I tell you, God is amazing. The power that we've been given. And what's so amazing about God is you don't even have to be right. You don't even have to be right. You didn't have to be right in the situation. God will still bless you even in your times of trouble. God will bless you in your times of trouble. Keep you hidden even in the times where you wasn't quite right. That's what I love about God. That you get to learn your lessons. You get to be able to perform your miracle. You get to stand in the presence and see physical being transcended by the miracle working presence. There's something powerful that happens when you stand in your miracle working presence, the consciousness of Christ. There's something powerful that happens when you recognize who and what you are and know how to take those tools and create. You are a powerful being. You are a powerful being. Your only goal today is God. When I gave that affirmation to my nephew and I wrote it down and I told him, and I wrote at it, what is written, so shall it be. As it is written, so shall it be. Write it down, family, today. What's your goal today? Your only goal is God. Your only goal is God. And what's so interesting about this is this wasn't a lesson for today. I happened to want to, I don't know what made me, well, spirit, I guess. I said, let me see. I put in a Course in Miracles, and I wanted to, and I just put in God. And this is what came up, because I was thinking about A Course in Miracles, and my girlfriend was saying that she goes in and she, and said, I'm going to try it too and see what happened. And when I read it today, it says, our only goal is God. Our only goal is God. I thought about, so all the notes that I had for today's lessons was about love and loving ourselves and the continuing that. But this felt like something I needed to express with you guys today, because so many of you all are going through your own personal journeys with your situations, your personal situations that you've shared with me. And I said, what if this lesson today could be a lesson to help each and every person who have shared their personal situation with me, could help them into seeing a better process in their own personal situation? What if this lesson could be a blessing to somebody to help heal and transform them today? What would I say? And so that's how this lesson came about. Good morning, Zakiya.
Good morning, Janine. Good morning, Love Journey family. I just wanted to say my only goal is God today. I needed to hear me say that. My only goal is God today. What a beautiful, beautiful message and something to take with me throughout my day. My only goal is God today. That is just so powerful. I just want to say thank you for that message today. And I love you. Peace.
Oh, thank you, thank you. All right.
I echo the same thing. My only goal today is God. My only goal today is God. My only goal today is a heart like God today. Not just a physical heart, but a spiritual heart today. When I see you, I see God today. I am God. Thank you. I really needed to hear that reaffirmation of truth. Be still and know that I am God. I do appreciate you for remembering to remember that we are just that. Most of us forget. We think that we are the experience that we're having. We think that we are the effect of the cause that we were involved in. But we forget that once we are still and remember that everything is God. No matter what it appears to be, God is all there is. No matter what it looks like to us, feels like to us, smells like to us, tastes like to us, it's God. Thank you.
You're welcome. So thank you so much for both of your all's comments. It was a pleasure to hear both of you all. All right.
Oh, shame.
All right, that's it for any questions, comments, or concerns. Our only goal is God today. And that's a lesson in Course in Miracles 258. Workbook lesson 258. Let me remember that my only goal is God. All right, family, I want to just bid you a beautiful, amazing day, reminding you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember, family, to choose love. Love is the only choice. And don't just dream, but live your God-sized dream. All right, family, this is Kim, you know. I had to play a little Kim after this deep conversation today. I'm playing Heaven. And in this song, he says, Heaven, he searched all around the world and only could find that Heaven was inside. Heaven is inside, family. So that's what I want to remind you today. Heaven is inside. This is Kim. This has been another page out of my notebook. Y'all remember, if you, I don't know if you, probably not from Chicago, you probably don't remember that. This has been another page out of my notebook. This is the love journey, the love experience with Janine Ann Ingram, a.k.a. Love Goddess, Lady Love, Lady J. That's me. This is Kim right here. Call her.
presence in you.